This is the Scripture Driven Church broadcast, brought to you by Teaching the Word Ministries. The Church of Jesus Christ must be the Scripture Driven Church, relying on God's inspired and inerrant Word as our sole authority and our infallible critic in every area of life and ministry. And now, here's author, Bible teacher, and Teaching the Word president, Dr. Paul Elliott, to introduce today's program.
Today, the Evangelical Church is experiencing an epidemic of the terrible spiritual disease of man-made doctrines. Because of satellite TV and the Internet, a new false doctrine can be invented one week in one pulpit and then spread around the world at the speed of light literally by the next Sunday. Christians must be prepared to recognize man-made doctrines when they come, and we must be ready to reject them, and to reject those who persist in teaching them. Well, nothing could be more helpful to us than the passage we're studying right now in Colossians chapter 2. And so I hope you'll stay with us for today's message titled, Beware of Progress in Theology. And I hope you'll stay tuned at the end of today's program for information on a special free book that we're offering during this series. Before we turn to Colossians chapter 2, verse 18, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you that you have given us your pure word as our inerrant standard, and your indwelling Holy Spirit as our infallible guide. I pray that you will indeed set your standard clearly before us today, and that you will enlighten our understanding of it by the working of your Spirit. And Father, if there is anyone listening today who is not trusting in Jesus Christ alone for salvation, I pray that by your grace and by the power of your word, that you would bring that person to faith in Christ. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you are able to do so as you're listening today, I hope that you will take your Bible and turn with me to Colossians chapter 2, beginning at verse 18. The Apostle Paul is warning us about the third of Satan's triple threats to the church, and that is the threat of the tyranny of man-made doctrines. I'm going to begin by reading this passage as we take it up once again today, Colossians chapter 2, beginning at verse 18. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. Dear friends, this passage places before us one of the most vital matters for you as an individual Christian and for the church as a body of believers. The Bible is just as up-to-date and up-to-the-minute as it could possibly be. Nothing could be more relevant for our time and for our circumstances. The evangelical church is experiencing an epidemic of man-made doctrines. Nothing could be more valuable to us than this passage of the Word of God as we come to grips with this aspect of the great spiritual battle in which we are engaged as believers. We must be prepared to recognize these things when they come, and we must be ready to reject those who persist in teaching such things. And so, as we take up God's warning against man-made doctrines once again today, let me review for you what we have covered in our first three messages on this vital subject. First of all, we considered the question of context. It's vital for us to understand the place that every verse occupies within the Word of God and the purpose for which every verse is given to us within the Word. And so we've seen that the place that this warning occupies within Paul's inspired letter to the Colossian church has to do with the theme of the letter. The theme of Paul's letter is the preeminence of the Lord Jesus Christ in all things, in creation, in salvation, in the church, and in genuine Christian ministry. Man-made doctrines rob the Lord Jesus Christ of first place. The one who has placed all authority in the hands of Jesus is God the Father Himself. Man-made doctrines usurp the rightful authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. The central characteristic of man-made doctrines, and the central characteristic of those who invent them, is that they rob Jesus Christ of His authority. Secondly, we considered the way in which man-made doctrines come into existence. Man-made doctrines come into existence because some individual or some group or some institution dares to tamper with the pure Word of God. Man-made doctrines add things to the Word of God, they subtract things from the Word of God, and they deviate from the Word of God. And we have seen God's warnings all through Scripture from beginning to end. Do not tamper with my pure Word. Do not add. Do not subtract. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left. But this is and always has been Satan's method of attack. Ever since the Garden of Eden, Satan has been placing doubt in man's heart about the authority and truthfulness of God and His Word. Throughout time, Satan has been appealing to the pride of man, telling man that we know better than God, that we decide what God's Word really means or doesn't mean. Once again, this is an attack on the authority and the preeminence of the Lord Jesus Christ. But specifically, man-made doctrines are an attack on the authority and preeminence of Christ's pure written Word. Thirdly, we've considered the source of our greatest defense against man-made doctrines. Our greatest defense is the fact that God has preserved His pure Word for us in the original languages. Now, for the last 150 years in particular, Satan has been at work in the evangelical church in a very special and a very subtle way. Satan has convinced the majority of evangelical pastors, teachers, and scholars that we do not, in fact, have the inerrant Word of God in our hands today in the original languages. And thus, Satan has attacked the inerrancy of Scripture at the very root, at the very source. And he has been highly successful in this deception. And in the past 150 years, we have seen the opening of a floodgate of man-made doctrines in the church. We have seen the proliferation of cults. We have seen many churches develop doctrinal distinctives that have no basis in Scripture. And today we see men and women in pulpits on television who invent a new doctrine out of their sinful minds on one Sunday morning, and because of the speed of communication in our day, by means of satellite television and the internet, that new doctrine, that new lie, that new deviation from the Word of God spreads around the globe within days and weeks, sometimes hours. It spreads literally at the speed of light, and it infects other people. It infects other churches across the globe. And in our time, Satan, who masquerades as an angel of light, is doing his work at the speed of light. And Scripture calls those who invent man-made doctrines Satan's ministers. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 15. The Apostle Paul tells us that man-made doctrines threaten to cheat the believer of his reward in Christ. And so Paul says, "Let no man cheat you of your reward." Now, this is very interesting in the original language. Paul is describing for us the role of an umpire or a judge in the Greek Olympic Games. He's using this as an illustration. He's saying that the inventors of man-made doctrines are like an umpire or a judge who would unjustly deny you the prize for winning a race or some other sports contest. Paul is not describing an honest judge making an honest judgment. Paul is not describing the judge who would say, "I'm disqualifying you because you didn't play by the established rules of this event." No, Paul is describing a dishonest umpire, an unjust judge, who says, "I'm taking away your prize for winning because you did not play the game by my rules, my arbitrary rules, the rules that I invented on my own." Those who invent man-made doctrines sit in unjust judgment over those whom they have no right to judge, and they judge them on grounds that have no basis in Scripture. Those who invent man-made doctrines are saying, "I am going to judge you by your conformance, not to Scripture, but to my rules. If you don't conform to my invented doctrines, it means you aren't willing to be submissive to authority within the church. It means you aren't willing to listen to those who know more than you do. And if you persist in this, it probably means you aren't really a Christian." How many of us have heard this? Turn on the television or the radio today, and if you listen with biblical discernment, you will hear an epidemic of it. Often these people come in a very subtle and cunning way. They pretend that they're going to show you something about the Christian faith that you did not know before. They pretend that they're going to show you some improvement upon Christian teaching, over and above that which you've previously known. During the past 150 years, one of the bywords in evangelical Christian academia has been progress in theology. Progress in theology. We need to make progress in our theology, they say. We need to blaze new trails. We need to explore new territory. Dear friends, the Word of God is complete, and it is settled. Its theology is settled. Paul tells us here in Colossians chapter 2, verse 18, that those who invent their own doctrines are intruding into things that they have not seen, things that God has not revealed as the body of Christian truth. God has set the boundaries of the theological and doctrinal territory in which we are to live and learn. By definition, the only thing new in theology is heresy. You can count on that. Often those who invent man-made doctrines will deceive many people through a display of false humility. Often I have heard people say this about a man who preaches error, about a man who invents his own doctrines. They'll say, "But he's such a good man. He's such a humble man." Dear friends, listen to what Paul says in Galatians chapter 1. "If we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached, let him be accursed." It doesn't matter if that man or angel comes to you in a display of outward humility. Our subjective judgment of a man's supposed humility is not the issue. God's truth is the issue, and it is a life and death issue. Charles Spurgeon once said this. He said, "If the life of the man should be blameless as the life of Christ, but he preaches to you something other than the pure truth of Jesus Christ, take no heed of him. He wears the sheep's clothing, but he is a wolf underneath." Likewise, those who invent false doctrines are often very eloquent. They have a way with words. They can be witty. They can be glib. They can twist a lot of Scripture by quoting it out of context and distorting its actual meaning. They can overwhelm you with theological terms. They can be very convincing. But dear friend, do not let your faith stand in the words of men, but in the pure Word of God. We live in a day when many men speak very eloquently and very persuasively to promote all kinds of evil. But far better is the man who would stammer out the words of the truth of God than the man who spews forth evil with great flowing eloquence. Having begun in the Spirit, dear friend, do not attempt to continue in the flesh. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. Understand the genuine way of God. Submission to the genuine authority of Christ and His Word results in submission to truth and a proper desire to serve God in truth. When the Lord confronted Job out of the whirlwind, Job said this, "I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." When Peter saw the power of Christ demonstrated, Luke tells us that Peter fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." When Isaiah saw the Lord sitting on his throne in heaven, he said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." These are not the true heart attitudes of those who invent man-made doctrines. Paul tells us here in Colossians chapter 2, verse 18, that these people are exhibiting a false humility, just as he tells us a few verses later that they are promoting a false wisdom. Inwardly, Paul says, such a person is vainly puffed up in his fleshly mind. What the false teacher says has the appearance of wisdom, Paul says in verse 23, but it is in fact of no value for the real need of the Christian, which is our being conformed more and more to the image of Christ by the mortification of our sinful flesh. That is true humility. Scripture also describes this kind of false humility in other passages. This is how God views such false teachers, and this is how they will be judged. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, Paul says that these people have a form of godliness, but are denying its power. And he says, from such people, turn away. Titus chapter 1, verse 16, they profess to know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. 1 John chapter 2, verse 4, he who says, "I know him," that is, "I know Christ," and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Scripture tells us clearly how Christ will deal with such false teachers. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 16. He said, "You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, in the day of judgment, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Scripture also tells us the nature of the true judgment of the faithful Christian and the nature of the Christian's true reward. Christ is the righteous judge, and he will reward the believers on the basis of how they lived in the light of the eternal truth of God's pure word. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning at verse 10, Paul says this, "According to the grace of God which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day of judgment, will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work, that is, if any true believer's work, is burned, because it is not of the truth and therefore not worthy of Christ's approval," Paul says, "he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire." Dear friend, let no man cheat you of your reward. Build with the gold, silver, and precious stones of the pure truth of Christ, not the wood, hay, and straw of man-made doctrines. Our Lord Jesus Christ says this in Revelation chapter 22. He says, "Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city, the New Jerusalem. But outside, eternally separated from God, are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. And so the Apostle John says this in the book of 2 John, beginning at verse 11. Look to yourselves, that we do not lose those things we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Let me leave you today with these words of encouragement from Hebrews chapter 10, beginning at verse 35. Therefore, the writer says, do not cast away your confidence in Christ and in his word, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. And then the writer quotes Old Testament promises of God. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But, the writer to the Hebrews says, true believers are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul.
Here once again is Dr. Paul Elliott with some closing comments.
At the beginning of the program, I mentioned our current free book offer, and I want to tell you more about it and tell you how you can receive your free copy. The Apostle Paul told the church at Corinth that he did not come to them with man-made doctrines. No, he said, I came to you with the message of the pure Word of God. I determined not to know anything among you, he said, except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Well, today many churches and Christians are getting out from under the authority of Christ and His Word. They're subjecting themselves to the tyranny of man-made doctrines. During our current series of messages on this great danger, we're offering a book on this subject, titled simply, Jesus Christ and Him Crucified, by Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. I hope that you'll send for this book. I know it will be a great blessing to you. We'll send a free copy of Jesus Christ and Him Crucified to anyone who requests it anywhere in the world while supplies last. Here's how to receive your free copy. Listeners in the United States can call us toll-free anytime 24 hours a day at 888-804-9655. Once again, our toll-free number for listeners in the United States is 888-804-9655. You can also request your free copy of Jesus Christ and Him Crucified by visiting our website, teachingtheword.org. Just click the contact link on our homepage. Once again, click the contact link on the homepage of our website, teachingtheword.org. Or, if you prefer, you can write to us at Teaching the Word Ministries, Box 2533, Westminster, Maryland, 21158 USA. Once again, our mailing address is Teaching the Word Ministries, Box 2533, Westminster, Maryland, 21158 USA. Friends, this broadcast continues on the air through the faithful financial support of our listeners. If you would like to contribute to the support of this ministry, you can do so when you visit our website. Go to teachingtheword.org. And you'll find a support link that will take you to a page where you can make a gift by credit card online, or you can print a gift form to mail to us with your check. We appreciate the faithful support of our listeners for this worldwide outreach. Once again, our website is teachingtheword.org, and our mailing address is Box 2533, Westminster, Maryland, 21158, USA. On our next broadcast, we'll continue our study of the dangers of the epidemic of man-made doctrines and how to combat this evil. Until then, may God richly bless your personal study of His inspired, infallible, and inerrant Word.
This weekly program, The Scripture-Driven Church, is brought to you by the faithful friends and supporters of Teaching the Word Ministries.